Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another exciting episode of the 16-Bit Assassins podcast, where I, your host, Toaster, really need to intro or work on some intro music. So it's not just a complete, like, hey, you're on the air. But we have an amazing show for you this evening because something amazing happened over the weekend and up until today. And because it's so amazing, we actually had to bring in help on the episode. So I am joined by my amazing co-host, Jen,
who
was the victim of a dental horror movie.
So very much so, yes. Two days worth of dental horror movie, but yes.
And also joining us, we have gamer geek girl extraordinaire and award-winning author, Rachel Carr. You also may recognize her from the wonderful, highly acclaimed Ill Popcorn podcast.
Dun, dun, dun.
But yeah, so there was a thing that happened.
A thing?
Stuff and things. That's always the best.
A little gathering out in Los Angeles, I think. Just something small, you know. A few hundred thousand people, that's all.
Yeah.
But yeah, so to this episode tonight, we're going to talk about what happened at E3. And if you are listening on this wonderful Thursday evening, you can call in and talk about E3 with us live on the air. And you can put your voice out on the internet so other people can hear your opinions. Because what else are you going to use the internet for? But if you are listening live, you can call us at 646-668-2390. We'd love to hear from you. Love to hear what, you know, you thought of E3, you know, what you as a listener took away from the convention and what some of your highlights were. We're going to start things off with some salt, though.
So much salt.
Adds caverns and caverns of salt. So kicking things off was Bethesda. And ordinarily, I'm really, really happy about Bethesda's.
It was better than last year. We have to get that out of the way. But then again, I've had craps that were better than last year's Bethesda conference.
Ooh, that's rough.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was inspired by the salt.
Oh, Todd Howard is crying right now.
Poor Todd. So, I was yelling at Todd by the end of that.
Rightfully so. We'll get to that in a second. So Bethesda took the stage. They announced, you know, things that we were expecting. So we got a Doom 2 teaser. And that was about it. here's Doom's guy's leg. We're going to pan up to his hip. And there's his helmet, and he's about to shoot a bunch of demons. Oh, okay. So Doom 2. Sweet. We also got a little bit of insight into Machine Games' Wolfenstein 2 sequel, which is going to take us into the 80s, and apparently you'll have me playing the Blazkowicz twins.
Which I love. I love the fact that it's the 80s and it's the Blazkowicz twins.
I'm just trying to picture BJ Blazkowicz having to deal with twin girls.
I mean, like, that is pretty awesome.
I fought Nazis. But I don't know how to handle this. There should just be like a Wolfenstein 2 DLC, which is just him raising his daughters with his wife. Daddy BJ.
I can just imagine the first time he has to, like, would you rather punch a Nazi or deal with double PMS? Pretty sure punching Nazis is going to win every time.
I don't know. I mean, the dude, we already have a caller.
We already have a caller.
Great.
Yay, caller.
Would they like to discuss E3, or are we going to hear about 10
of them? Hello, caller. You are live with the 16-Bit Assassins. How you doing?
Good. So I saw y'all were talking about the coming Cthulhu movie, and seeing as how you have the great and award-winning author Rachel Carr, and it is kind of her niche, I'm wondering if that'll inspire her to write the Cthulhu Erotica series that her fan base is clamoring for.
Oh, my God.
I knew it was going to happen.
fantastic. Oh, I'm already turning plaid. Like, seriously, we haven't even gotten 5 minutes into the show and tentacle porn has come up.
I told you I will write all the sex scenes, and there's a lot of tentacles, so there's a lot of sex scenes.
I have
She has assistants. She's got people willing to write the parts for her that, you know, make her blush and pass out.
You know, thanks for bringing tentacles on here, because there is actually a game coming out that Rachel might want to watch for some inspiration. Something showed off, I guess, during the PlayStation conference, Call of Cthulhu. I'm really stoked for it because they actually are basically pulling straight from the tabletop game. Caller, did you see that trailer? Or
I haven't seen the trailer yet, but now that I know such a thing exists, I'm sure that many of us will pull it up.
I have a feeling that there are more people to come, but, oh, bad choice of words when talking about tentacles.
I'm not sure how many more signs.
I will not dignify that with a response, because I'm here to talk about E3 and Bethesda, and I'm also in the chat room if anyone wants to chat live and discuss video games that were at E3.
Like Call of Cthulhu.
Like Call of Cthulhu.
Exactly, we were discussing.
I mean, we're technically staying within the game. I mean, there is a game, Rachel. I mean, how many more signs do you need?
And it's up for pre-order as well, just because, you know.
I mean, I do like the thought of Call of Cthulhu, because I always loved the insanity system in the tabletop games, and I used to play that. I mean, it was one of those games, it was like, how long can you stay sane? And then there's always one person in the group who decides halfway through, whee! Being sane is not fun, so let's summon a monster! You know. It's kind of like Cyberpunk. It wasn't how long your characters would last. It would be how quickly they would die. You know. And Cyberpunk, oh my god. I had a flash forward and am way too excited.
So, caller, thanks for calling in. If you'd like, you can join us in the chat room and totally elaborate on your technical schemes there.
Oh, we will. Thanks for having the calls. I'm sure you're going to be getting more.
Hey, we got to free the lineup, though.
All right. Talk to you later.
Thanks for calling in. Take it easy.
Bye.
All right. So one of the interesting things about Call of Cthulhu, now that you bring up the insanity system, Rachel, is I was watching a gameplay trailer, and they were talking to the developers of it, and one of the things the developer stated was the intent of the game is to go mad.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, one of the interviewers was like, well, can you avoid going insane? Is that, like, a goal? And it's like, you apparently have not read a lot of Cthulhu. No.
No.
Like, that's, like, the first thing I thought. I was like, why would you ask that question? Right after you just said, oh, I loved Call of Cthulhu, the tabletop game. Apparently you did not, if you did not realize what the point of Cthulhu is. There's no happy endings.
No, none. It usually ends up with tentacles and explosions and the darkness. What's that game? Eternal Darkness on the GameCube. It had the best insanity system. And I hope that they bring something like that back, because I'll never forget. There was one point where if you go completely mental, it actually pulls up a blue screen of death on your GameCube and makes you think, what's that? And as you go crazy, you realize that it's actually the game messing with you. And I love it.
Well, a lot of the things I saw in this trailer too are like, it looks like they're going to play a lot on the, did I just see that? Or what the hell did I just experience?
Mm-hmm.
Like, sensation you get when you get like a bunch of images and like quick flashes of things juxtaposed together. There were like haunting remnants of photographs. And the whole game, like, it starts off as like you're a private detective and you're going to this Blackmore Island, I believe it was, to investigate like a fire. And like immediately, like, there's just like, you just in the game itself, like the graphics and the stylized setting is just like this immediate, like, just moist, doom ridden shithole. And you're
I do enjoy how you used moist.
No, like, really, that's the sensation you get from watching the trailer. Like, everything looks damp. But also, they said that there is, a massive RPG element to the game, and, like, the more you, like, if you're the type of player that has to stop and look at everything in an environment, then you're going to do really well at this game, they said, because you're going to be getting, like, not only your primary experience points from, like, progressing the story, but also, like, being investigative and finding things around the environment and stuff is going to reward you in a way that, you know, gives you more bonuses to your stats, where they said somebody who just kind of goes through it might have a harder time getting through certain situations.
So my ADD will pay off, is what you're telling me.
Yeah, or like my inability to just not walk through a room and like fall out. Like, what's that red thing on the floor?
Yeah, you have to poke everything. Like, there might be something shiny, and you have to like run your cursor over every item on every surface in the entire game. Well, like, a shout out to, I know there's some people listening but don't have Flash, so they can't talk in the live chat. But if you can get in here, we'd love to hear from you.
And we also have a call-in number, 646-668-2390. If you're going to call and talk about tentacles, though, that has already been done. You'll need to find.
There's a moratorium on tentacles. That's not going to stop them, is it?
So, you know, Rachel, it's interesting that you bring up Fallout.
I will, because I feel like my guts were punched, because I love Fallout, but I play Fallout to not hang around other people.
Exactly.
Yeah, I kind of felt like I got kicked in the balls when he made that announcement. And then when I saw the whole entirely online, I was like, no. Why? Like, this is the thing I don't get. Single-player games are not dead. All right.
But wasn't God of War taught us this year? Like, they are still
exactly.
Not
like, I'm still going through, how come it's not God of War? Like, I'm still dealing with that pain in my life. you know, I've somewhat filled it with Fallout 4, but now I'm like playing Fallout 4 is the equivalent of like eating like a pint of double Dutch chocolate because of what's happening to the Fallout series. So I want to make this abundantly clear for everybody who was like, oh, just give it a chance, you're better than this, and oh, it's not an MMO. I never said it was an MMO. I merely said ESO Fallout. Mainly.
It's tight. The implication I can see as being valid, yes.
Mainly I was saying ESO Fallout because of the entirely online thing. So this is the thing that pisses me off about this. So that, like, if you don't have an internet connection, you can't play Fallout 76. This is the same arguments that were brought up initially when Adam Orth with the original Xbox One discussions was saying that it was an entirely online console. Like, this, that, right? Making everything online requirement is
annoying.
I understand it. Like, your argument is like, the internet is everywhere. Okay. But that doesn't necessarily mean like a game like Fallout that has traditionally always been a single player campaign needs to have, like, I don't understand why everything has to have multiplayer now.
Because people suck.
I think that's the best argument for not having multiplayer. People suck.
Yep. Just saying.
So anyway.
Where the salt portion comes in after our title of our show.
Oh, yes. I mean, I watched it live on Twitch, and you could see the amount of Fallout. Hype goes crazy. It's online only. The hype just plummeted as soon as that was said. I mean, it was like the air had been sucked out of the room, and everyone was like, damn you, Todd.
Well, so the other thing, there's not going to be any NPCs. Every human character you meet is going to be another person. All right, I have one huge problem with this as a World of Warcraft player.
If I wanted to do that, I would go outside.
If
let's not get drastic.
Trying to do a quest on a PvP server in World of Warcraft and I was in a contested zone. Yeah. People like level 60s would show up back in the day and just murder you because they thought it was fun. So, like, what's to prevent people, like, again, I mean, you're questing, you're trying to do something, and some asshole playing Raider Bob over here shoots you in the head because he's got nothing better to do. Like, I don't understand why they want to take the game in this direction. And they're talking about, oh, there's going to be a wanted system so that, you know, other players get punished.
Oh, because that worked blah, blah, blah. In the game.
You know, I don't know. And then they're like, I'm like tripping over how much salt I have right now. I'm like sitting on like my throne of salt on Mount Salty Ass in Saltlandia.
I think that's called Utah.
Maybe. But see, like, they tried this system, the rogue agent system in The Division, which...
And people got around it really
easily. You know, and if players are fluidly jumping servers, like, how is that tag going to follow them from server to server?
Inquiring minds want to know.
You know, and I mean, Bethesda's like, oh, there's going to be a beta. And it's like, yeah, okay. Like... If I wanted to do like a survival online game, I'd play like Ark, or I'd play Rust, or I'd play any one of the other games out there. Like, the other thing is like the amount of hype that people are like, oh yeah, multiplayer Fallout. Like, no, dude.
I thought played Fallout to hate people and avoid them. I don't want to be
the lone wanderer, not the lone group.
I agree. I hate playing with people.
You know, like, I'm having a hard enough time walking around in Fallout 4 with Ada, the robot. And the only reason I have her is because I can make her carry so much shit that it's not even funny. Like, she carries, like, as much as, like, 8 dog meats would carry. If dog meat could carry more, I would play with dog meat the entire game. In fact, I did play through this entire game with dog meat. That's how much I hate playing with other people sometimes.
But also, dog meat was very cool.
Yeah, Dogmeat, awesome. I mean, there's a reason, and I've said this time and time again. There's a reason that console and console are the same freaking word.
Yep, the salt is flowing.
I play my console to console me, not to, like, I just went through all of that effort to walk over here to go check out whatever this undiscovered thing on my map is. Blam. You asshole. Moose Knuckle 572, I hate you. Like, I'm seriously like just creating an entirely new like just bundle of screen names for people now. I have like Panty McTwist Face 47.
Moose
Knuckle 572. I don't know, I just it's like my interpretation of Brenda Brick Undersquatch's name. I just throw a couple of words together and then a number after it because that's really all it.
I just want one that says AT&T of people. That's what I want. Then everyone will avoid you and not want to deal with you and pay you lots of money even though you're no better than anyone else.
Are we still on Fallout Salt or are we doing a new Salt?
I guess the one thing I would say is they are doing a beta, and if you pre-order the game, you can get in the beta, see if it sucks, and then decide if you want to keep it. So it might.
I don't know. I kind of think something like this should be an open beta.
Oh.
Like,
it's interesting because I just can't trust people further than I can throw them, and I am genuinely afraid of just getting nuked, and not in a way that I would enjoy.
Yeah,
there's a way that you would enjoy?
Yes.
That's apparently the end game right now, is you get nukes, and you can either go into like a Cold War stalemate, or you can mutually annihilate each other, or you can like shoot them at just unpopulated areas to get like special resources and like higher level gear and stuff. Like, I kind of feel like this is going to be a wasted effort on their part, because there's so much more you could do with a single-player Fallout story in West Virginia with all the freaky shit that goes on down there.
I'm just waiting for, like, Eastern Sasquatches to show up. Then I'll be pleased.
Especially with, like, how, like, close to the actual bombs detonating this game is supposed to take place. Like, you could do some really freaky stuff. But no, they're going to turn it into a... Like, I'm not happy about this, Todd.
There's been a lot of Todd Lash. I mean, by the end of it, I was like, of course. And then the thing that got me is when he was talking about, like, the Skyrim mobile game in the conference, I felt like his soul is just draining out.
Oh, yeah.
Well, he didn't believe you. It was literally the face of, I am forced to say this. I have to say it. Please.
I was saying earlier, before we even started broadcasting, I have never been so sick of a game that I haven't played in my life.
Wait, but have you played
it? Like, Skyrim is the first one. I've never played it, and I know I used to want to play it. I no longer have any interest in playing it because I'm so sick of it.
I won't like that. I actually found that skit hilarious because I was like, I could just see myself yelling.
No, wait, you legitimately can do that now.
I know. You can do some of the commands.
I'm going to eat all the cheese wheels.
As a lactose intolerant, I highly recommend against this.
You know, speaking of the Elder Scrolls Blades announcement, how many times can you throw the word apple into a conversation?
And not get sued?
No, that's like...
You mean that's not an Apple conference?
Elder Scrolls Blades for the iPhone. What about us Android users that want to play Skyrim on our phones?
Look, you can get everything else. It's practically going to be like Skyrim on the Tamagotchi. Skyrim on your pacemaker. Skyrim on your Samsung smart TV.
I'm waiting for it to show up on smart refrigerators.
I've seen the smart refrigerator, and I would really enjoy that, actually. Be like,
oh my gosh.
Make some chicken and then slay a dragon.
Oh, you can you can pre-register for it on Android devices. I'm going to do that right now.
Oh.
I don't know what else to say about Fallout 76 other than it's a horrible idea.
I will say it's an idea that doesn't appeal to me right now. I am interested to see how they actually implement it, because I'm totally not going to go 100% doom and gloom without seeing it, because I'm saving my rage for friggin' a BioWare game without a romance option, which has destroyed me. That's my fault. Play BioWare game 4 except to see interesting and unusual and sometimes not even human creatures and
that
have
you can
sex.
Fuck?
Like, that's the whole point.
Do you see that bulkhead over there?
Yeah.
I'ma do it. I'ma do it all night long.
Great excitement. Oh, baby.
You know, I want to close off the Bethesda discussion with the worst tease.
It wasn't even a tease. That was just
like that is a giant nothing burger. It's like a 100%. It's like a triple bacon and blue cheese nothing burger.
You have to say blue cheese. That'll kill me.
I'm sorry. Bacon and whatever will not kill Rachel. Nothing burger.
Sandwiches. I thought we've had this discussion before.
They're like, you know, and it's like dramatic music, beautiful landscape, Elder Scrolls 6.
There's a PlayStation for it.
Okay.
But you know why? Because, again, I don't think they have anything. They know people are sick of Skyrim. They figured they had to throw something else Elder Scrolls out there.
They did.
So they cobbled
for
together. They cobbled together some stuff and was like, "Let's call this 6. It'll shut them up for a while."
But I was just kind of like, I was getting excited because I'm like, "Oh, at least we'll get a teaser. We'll get a one, even if it's just like a 15-second movie. No, it's just a friggin' landscape and the title. Okay, I could probably have my son crank that out on his iPhone, and it would be more exciting.
they
end up in Minecraft somehow.
They sent an email over to Blizzard. One of the Blizzard cinematic guys did it on his, like, lunch break.
No,
exactly.
Come on. Guys,
like,
please, we really need
Bill.
We really, 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 really need help. Can you please just help us out with this?
Bill, hey, it's
people
Todd over at Bethesda.
Sick of Skyrim.
Bill, it's Todd over at Bethesda. Can
no,
you
Todd.
If you get a second? So yeah, Bethesda, I'm stoked for Doom 2, Wolfenstein 2. As much as I joke about it, I'm going to check out Blades on my phone and see what that's all about. I don't know. I'm not going to pre-order your game. So I suggest making the beta open. So us Fallout fans are like, why are you turning this into a multiplayer thing when it doesn't need to be?
At least they're not BioWare, not putting romance in. Just saying.
Who? Who?
Sorry, I'm still mad about Anthem not having romance.
I'm sorry, what game?
But you know why?
Why?
Because Ubisoft took over their romance options for Assassin's Creed.
That's my anti-salt. That's what gave me pure unadulterated joy. I squeed so loud, I think my editor in Australia heard my cry. Because I was so happy to find out that once more there will be romance, and not just any romance, multiple romance options in Assassin's Creed Odyssey, which I wasn't expecting to be out this year, and I'm going to get my Greek mythology fix, and if you can bone a minotaur, I will die a happy woman.
I don't think you'll get that.
But why not?
Just saying. I don't think boning a minotaur would be a...
Okay.
I kind of feel like Ubisoft is like, wait, Bethesda's doing multiplayer? BioWare stopped making Mass Effect? Hold our beer.
Hold our beer, yes. We'll give you romance with anyone you want, any way you like it. We are like the friggin' Burger King.
I do have to say, if there's a game that I saw at E3 that makes me really want a 4K TV and a PlayStation Pro, it's definitely...
You mean like I have?
It's definitely Odyssey.
Ooh,
like watching
yeah.
the 4K footage that they had, it looks gorgeous. And, I mean, it's my favorite literary period because, I mean, Greek mythology is really cool. Really messed up, but really cool.
And usually starts with Zeus being horny.
Zeus took the shape of a swan.
A golden shower of rain.
Like swan, they called him. He's a very quick swan.
Even he got tentacle sex. Just
saying. Yeah, before we get into that, though, I want to talk about Microsoft real quick.
Oh, yeah. They had a good conference. They had a solid conference.
Apparently, their answer to not selling enough consoles was, well, fuck it. We'll just buy every studio.
Yep, we'll buy you and you and you and you.
Uh-huh.
They're like the Disney.
So they picked up Undead Labs, the guys behind State of Decay. They picked up Playground Games, the guys behind Forza Horizon. They picked up Ninja Theory, the guys behind Hellblade, Sin of Sacrifice. And Compulsion Games, people behind We Happy Few. And as well as a all-new studio called The Initiative, which was headed up by Daryl Gallagher, the former chief of Crystal Dynamics, who was the head of the Tomb Raider reboot that did pretty well and is a lot of fun to play. We Happy Few looks whack job.
I like We Happy Few. I love the style of it. I love the...
It looks like the
concept.
Person...
I mean, it looks sick.
It looks like the person behind it watched way too much of Clockwork Orange.
More than a little.
That actually, it didn't even get a rating in Australia.
Jeez.
Yeah. Oh. I mean, well, we all know. I mean, Australia at one point wouldn't rate Mortal Kombat, so.
True.
We did make the joke of how does a continent full of the descendants of prisoners not, I understand that may be offensive to any of our listeners in Australia, and I apologize.
Yes, if you're listening, yes, that was my squeeing sound. Because you get romance with Assassin's Creed Odyssey.
We also got to look at Halo Infinite, which at this
point,
it's kind of become like a Friday the 13th sequel. You guys really need to just let it go.
Am I supposed to sing the Elsa song now?
No.
We also got a glimpse at Gears 5, which I'll probably get it. Or wait for it to come on Microsoft Games Pass, which Games Pass got a... Wow.
It had a very God of War kind of feel. Gears 5. Just not like mythology and blades and stuff, but just kind of that heavy familial kind of... I don't know. It just... That's what struck me, as weird as that sounds.
Well, I want to know what happened to JD between the events of Gears of War 4 and now, because
I'm guessing an alien invasion. It just seems to happen.
He's less funny and more angry Marcus Fenix again.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Marcus seems like he may have smoked a joint somewhere, because he seems a lot more calm.
Maybe he did.
I've been having these crazy visions of locusts that are going to kill us. Well, I'll take you up north and show you where you get some answers to that. Like, that does not seem like typical Fenix. Typical Fenix is, are you wearing a locust necklace? That's why you're getting nightmares, stupid. Go away before I shoot you. Seriously, when they came out with the Gears of War's remaster, I was like, so what? You can see him scowl now in 4K? Yay! But I bought it. Did we just lose Rachel? Rachel?
No, we didn't. Okay. I was just lamenting because people who are listening to this on an iPhone cannot chat, and I believe the comment was, a podcast with no chat is like Fallout with no single player, and I thought that was actually a pretty poignant observation. So
I'm sorry, guys. If you are listening, you can call us at 646-668-2390, unless you don't want to be live on the air. And I understand that.
What if I don't want to be live on the air?
But it's so much fun.
You said you wanted to be on the show tonight, so.
That is true, actually. I love talking about E3. It was actually my honeymoon, so. This is my jam.
So as with any E3, there was some controversy.
Really?
Yeah. I call this segment pissing off the normies.
Oh my God.
So the trailer for The Last of Us 2 looks gorgeous. I mean,
oh,
it's The Last
beautiful.
Of Us 2, so it looks beautiful.
The fighting looked so visceral, and it had such great reaction. I was happy with the combat from what I saw. I hope that the game will feel like that.
The gameplay trailer they showed off opens with Ellie, like, just throat-stabbing a guy.
As you do.
And
sometimes you just have to do that.
Well, right, but she's got him, like, stabbing the part of the throat where it's like, why did you need to stab him a second time? He was already dead.
Sometimes you just have to make sure.
I don't know. But it's like... a weird, like, complete 180 from, like, the softness of the trailer. Like, where she's dancing with her girlfriend, and like, you can see, like, you know, she's just a normal girl. But,
what,
you know,
you think normal girls can't throat stab someone? I'm offended.
Well, you know what I mean.
She seems
so unsure of herself in that trailer versus I'm just throat stabbing dude because I need to.
You know, if you're really comfortable throat stabbing, kissing stuff gets a little awkward. I think that was trying to show the juxtaposition between she's very competent in her work, but she's feeling a bit insecure socially.
And out of place in a social environment.
Empathize with. Not that I stab people in the throat unless they keep asking me about Cthulhu erotica.
Just, like I said, like the trailer was very tender, but
yet,
that's not what people are focusing on.
Oh, you mean the butt hurt?
Because the internet apparently can't deal with lesbianism in a video game.
Not only in a video game, in a AAA video game.
Yeah,
now
like
really,
I don't like,
you're
like
really stepping suddenly, on the angry white male gamers.
Suddenly, you're all outraged because two girls kissed each other when you are sitting there in the bathroom looking up teenage lesbian porn and spanking it.
I like how you added in the bathroom. Like we have the whole have the whole scene set in front of us.
I'm just saying, like you're like these people like sit on just be like, oh my god, Ellie kissed a woman in a trailer, rage, and it's like,
oh, to be fair,
lesbian.
Yeah. men haven't acknowledged the fact that women exist other than as sex objects for them in video games, so let's give them time. Ugh. Was that, like, you know.
I don't know, it just seems to me that there's more important things in the world to be mad about than the fact that two girls kissed in a trailer. I don't know if you've watched any of the Legends of Tomorrow episodes, but that seems to happen pretty frequently.
I'm surprised they haven't kissed a dinosaur yet. Legends of
Tomorrow. Here we go. Will you stop it? The Minotaur, the dinosaur. Stop it.
We might have to have, like, Tentacle Guy call back to...
No, no more tentacles. That's right. Fine. Okay.
No, because neither... of neither the Minotaur nor the dinosaur have tentacles. So I think she just has something against sex with tentacles. I think everything else seems to be fair game. It's okay. Just the tentacles she has an issue with.
But yeah, that's the thing that people are focusing on is the fact that Ellie kisses her girlfriend in the trailer. Not the combat.
In the
The natural movement of, you know, backpedaling and hiding in brush, not the really disturbing scene of the guy that's dying already because he's being hung, but they just decide to eviscerate him as well because that's what people do then. I don't know.
That's fine.
People got, like, I just don't, like, anyway.
It's 2018 and this surprises you?
No. Which
okay.
is pathetic. I don't know. But yeah, I mean, the combat looks great. Like, the bow and arrow play looks awesome. And, like, her movements look, like, wicked natural looking, too.
Yeah, it was not just that. It was, like, the reaction of people. They acted like, not like video game combat. They acted more like real people. It was heavy and slow and visceral. And people sort of did protective maneuvers. And I was quite impressed by that. Like, that... completely floored me. I didn't care that she kissed a girl and liked it.
That the only thing I found slightly disturbing about the trailer was how close they're getting to, like, almost photorealism.
Yeah, it's still slightly in the uncanny valley, but it's really well done.
Yeah, getting creepily well done. Really is. Just saying.
Well, yeah, what do you think when Elder Scrolls 6 comes out for, like, the PlayStation 5 or whatever in, like, 2020, which is what the rumor is? You know,
it's just going to be Skyrim all over again. From the dragon's point of view.
It turns out you were just trying to go, like, shopping as the dragon. You're just trying to get some food. And, like, you flew over this castle and these asshole humans just started shooting arrows at you for no reason.
Yeah.
As they do.
And you already were having a bad day. You got, like, new pressure put on you at Dragonwork. They dropped a project in your lap and didn't tell you anything about it. So you were left trying to figure it out. And so the arrows just really, those are the straw that broke the camel's back. And you just lit them on fire and started this whole Dovahkiin war. And now you're running on the, I don't know where I'm going with this. I'm sorry.
I'm not entirely sure either, but keep going, because it's strangely enticing.
Of course it is. So now we're talking about dragons who don't have tentacles, so you're all on board with this.
You were just, you know, flying, and some dude shouted. And, you know, in dragon speech, he said, "Hey, dragon, screw you." And you were like, "Oh, yeah, well, screw you back." And he couldn't handle it, so he burst into flames. I don't know. The other game, which apparently offended the normal people in the world or the very sensitive, closed mind, I don't know. Assassin's Creed Odyssey.
Woohoo!
So before we even get into the whole stupidity of people not doing their history research, I think Odyssey is, like, going to be Ubisoft's defining RPG moment.
Go on.
Like, just hearing the dude talk about, like, how what they were doing. Like, this game better be huge.
Huge!
Like, I want Witcher 3 sized. Like, I mean, if Bethesda isn't going to come out with an enticing RPG, we need somebody to step up and fill the void that you can dump 400 hours of a game of your life into. It's just...
Hey, that's me on any Assassin's Creed, except for the one with Connor, because he sucked. He was a whiny little bitch, and I don't care.
We do have somebody in the chat room, Rachel Sullivan.
I have been discussing. No, I'm not. No mind flayers. No tentacles. I've been keeping them busy.
Mind flayers. That's screw those guys. If there's any monster in D&D that you run away from immediately or kill on sight, it's those.
Oh yes, nuke mind them flayers? With fire.
Yeah. But yeah, no. So Assassin's Creed Odyssey introduces the ability to play as a male or female. You play as Alexios or Cassandra.
Dun dun dun.
Dun dun dun. It takes place during ancient Greece, so you run into people like Socrates.
Okay.
And you are apparently playing a descendant of Leonidas. And
as you do,
you have a, like his spear is like a special ability weapon for you. But during the press conference, the game director just was really pushing the RPG aspect of like the leveling up and the, you know, your choices, like literally like shaping the game and stuff. And not only that, but you have like dialogue choices.
Yeah, it is a lot. It almost looks Mass Effect. it did feel like if BioWare ain't gonna do it, and Fallout's gonna go all online, then we can have mythology of assassins.
In 413 BC, mankind discovered a spear. They called it Assassin's Effect.
Okay, creepy. Yeah, no. No. Like, what?
You thought it, and you know it, and you loved it.
Your first mission is to go get rid of Caden.
As you should.
Can we not talk about that? Because my hamster died this past weekend.
Oh.
Yeah. So,
let's
not talk about a dead Caden.
I'm going to just go to my asshole cave now and just stay there.
National Bourbon Day, and I was given a shot before this. And I have a tiny drop left, and I'm pouring it out for Caden.
Thank you.
All right, so back to Assassin's Creed Odyssey.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, it looks really, really gorgeous. And I mean, I feel like I might be falling for that whole thing of like, yeah, because they're running it on a computer with like six graphics cards, dummy.
True.
But it looked gorgeous.
It did look gorgeous.
And it comes out this year. It comes out in October.
Yeah, because they were doing it in parallel and in secret.
So Ubisoftians.
Yes. At least they can keep a secret.
I'm also... Oh. But apparently... there's Rachel's favorite option now, a romance option in Assassin's Creed.
Oh. Actually, yeah, sorry, I do like romance. I thought you were about to say tentacles. Oh, God.
You have been paying too much attention to the chat room.
Well, somebody has to pay attention to the chat room and keep them company.
You're true, because I can't type and talk at the same time, and we all know that.
We know that.
Apparently, not only can you have romantic relationships, but you can have a gay romantic relationship or a lesbian romantic relationship.
Gasp!
This again.
My head fell a flutter.
Like, I'm like, why are you mad?
Well, my favorite though was one person who's like, why are you pushing this modern agenda? Like, everyone knows that they didn't have homosexuality in ancient Greece, and to which the entire internet goes, dude. Did you even? I mean, you can Google that.
Looked at a vase?
Have you looked at a vase? I mean, I remember. I know this is technically Rome, but in the Greek quarter of Pompeii, there's basically just a menu board at certain establishments in Mosaic. It's like, for a girl, it's this much. For a boy, it's this much. For a donkey, it's this much. Like, they didn't care. Spartans actually had a concept that, you know, male-on-male love increased masculinity.
But no one wants to talk about that.
what was the person that said that, like, Christian Greece wouldn't have accepted that?
Oh, yeah. No, because the Greeks followed Christianity, and Christianity is against that.
Mm.
Not understanding what the letters BC mean.
Yeah, this is BC, like, dude.
I think they think it means banning cock or something like that.
Oh, Jesus.
What a sad thought. That's almost as sad as the hamster dying.
Sorry.
Oh, that I'm going to hell, but at least it was funny.
Oh, wow. That's...
I'm sorry. I do to entertain our listeners.
I don't know. I'm interested. I will buy the game when it comes out. It looks good. All right. Before Jen chokes, we're gonna.
Sorry. Yeah, I didn't mean to choke.
It's okay.
I love an actual on-topic thing. I did love Assassin's Creed Syndicate, mostly for the romance. Like, they do have some good writers. They can't write an ending for shit in Assassin's Creed. Let's face it. But I'm so happy to have 80 to 95% of a game awesome and then deal with the shit ending.
I think it's nice too to kind of see them return to like historically interesting times. You know, like the Renaissance was really cool. You know, the original time period with Altair was awesome, and like to have them go to like, you know, ancient Egypt.
That was awesome.
Just a land rich in lore and rich in like mythology and stuff, and now we're gonna just go tackle the Pantheon in Greece. I wonder if there's gonna be a sneak of Kratos in there somewhere.
I would be there. They're
that
not
would be the most hilarious Easter egg ever. You walk in and Kratos just walks by.
And then kill something.
So I, you know, there's a lot of games that they announced, and I want to talk about one of the ones that I am honestly the most excited about.
Oh, are we getting to the anti-salt? Because we have one last salty thing. EA had a conference.
That's why I wasn't. I didn't actually see the EA conference, so you're driving on this one right now.
I took one for the team, and I would like to say, if it's anything, go FIFA.
Let me guess. FIFA. Madden.
Yep.
And golf.
No, it's just mostly FIFA and Madden.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, the occasional shooting thing to interrupt. And someone doing an elevator pitch for maybe doing a Star Wars game, but we have nothing to show.
But sports is what makes them money.
Yeah, but it's boring to watch.
But that's where all of their money comes from.
You know what probably would have made the money too? A Star Wars game that Visceral was working on. I mean, just putting that out there.
Just dropping that.
I need to talk about something positive, because for all the crap and all our whining and all the things that annoyed us, there was an absolute good at E3. There was something that made my nether regions all a flutter and my soul sing. And no, it was not Call of Cthulhu before you say it, guys.
Oh, God, get out of my head. It's scary up there. Spider-Man.
Spider-Man was in Sony. It was. Oh, and the Ghosts of. I know how to speak Japanese. Why am I thinking how to say it?
Ghosts of. That looks cool. I completely forgot about that one.
So we should know the name. Oh, God.
Ghosts of Tsushima or something like that. It's T-U-M.
Ghosts of Tsushima.
Yes.
Ghosts of Tsushima was like. That was another eye-gasm of the game. I want to see more about it just to see if they've front-loaded like all the cool gameplay. But seeing an Eijutsu strike,
I've seen a few people like
the game. It was like,
I've seen a few people equate the combat to like The Witcher 3, The Witcher 3, like to Batman.
But I saw a lot of Witcher. Like it does seem like The Witcher 3 has it's influenced a lot of games. You could see it in God of War this year. You could see it in the Ghosts of Tsushima. And I really think you can see it in CD Projekt Red's next game coming. Can we talk about it now? Can we talk about the good stuff?
Nope. We're saving it. Hold on. Because there's a couple other games we got to mention.
But I don't want to talk about the other things.
Well, you're a guest.
I know where you live.
So, From Software showed off their upcoming game. Psycho Shadows Die Twice.
True.
When I first saw the beginning parts of the trailer, I literally thought From Software had remade a Tenchu game.
Yes.
And I was just like, what?
Mommy?
It's going to be the hardest Tenchu game ever. Are you kidding? And then I saw the trailer and I was like, what? This is going to be the hardest Tenchu game ever. The game looks like Tenchu, just if From Software did Tenchu. And you play a samurai.
Very beautiful.
Who's trying to avenge, rescue a kidnapped ward. And you're like shamed. You have your arm chopped off, so it gets replaced by the skinless bottom half of your arm.
As you do.
And you can use it. It has weapons and stuff, and apparently dying is actually going to be a mechanic in the game, where you can die and rise up moments before or something like that. So you can learn from your mistakes and everything, but it's a limited use thing. It's From Software, so I know it's going to be hard as balls.
At least it looks like it makes more sense than Death Stranding.
I haven't even watched Death Stranding yet, trailers yet, because I feel like I need a psych major to sit down with me and just explain it.
It's basically, from what I can tell, Norman Reedus delivering packages in a weird post-apocalyptic world and people eating larvae that turn into babies even if they're men in that.
Yeah.
And explosions and black stuff. And strange women in suits saying, "Do you know who I am?"
That's weird.
Which reminded me of Babylon's 5. You are the Ham, just shouting back to the 90s.
We also got shown a Resident Evil 2 remaster, which I'm very excited for.
I made more squeaking noises.
We'll maybe have to have an extended show or something. Do a part two and talk about more, because we have 7 minutes left and we finally got to see Cyberpunk 2077. And some people got to play it.
I know.
At E3. And I imagine those people like Cartman from the South Park movie.
I just
saw Tim and Phillip, Who Wants to Touch Me. Character customization. This beautiful, vibrant dirt hole of a world. The game just looks taking. It's a first-person RPG, to which somebody was like, "Well, if it's a first-person RPG, why do you waste so much time customizing your character?"
You can see them from time to time.
I'm really surprised that CD Projekt Red even responded to that tweet, because it's dumb. But one of the developers, I believe, said, there's going to be a lot of times where you see your character. Oh, yeah. But they said there's driving elements to it. They don't know if the gunplay is going to be more Fallout, RPG-style gunplay, or actual the Call of Duty gun style, where it's quick and everything like that. Skill trees. They brought the cool stat in from the original tabletop game.
You gotta have the cool stat. That was my favorite part of Cyberpunk.
Apparently, that serves as your gateway into getting into certain situations. You can't even access areas unless your cool is a certain level.
Much like real life.
Yeah.
wait a minute.
Jen, what did you think? You're a huge CD Projekt Red fan.
I haven't watched it yet.
Okay.
I know, it's horrible, okay? I was supposed to watch it last night, and then I had to take the pain meds for my mouth, and
well,
I,
now
it
you
take
some,
all pain away.
I was unconscious, and yeah.
Now you have something to look forward to.
Exactly.
You know the thing that I loved about it? Because, okay, in almost every cyberpunk game, universe, everything, it's always at night. It's usually hazy or rainy, and there's lots of neon. The thing that I loved about the trailer was it showed you how cool a cyberpunk world could look in daylight. And I thought that was a really awesome choice, because if it looks that good out of its element, how ungodly cool is it going to be when you have neon and mist and haze and, you know, all the regular stuff.
Yeah, this is a game that I am actually debating on it being my my upcoming rig that I'm going to be building first. Like, the trailer just looks astonishing, and I don't want to play a game like that and have it be limited by the console I'm on. Like,
oh no.
I don't care if it's a PS4 Pro or if it's an Xbox One Scorpion or whatever, the Xbox One X rather. A PC is those. They're not even going to be able to touch a PC when it comes to what that game's going to look like. And if it's, it's going to be like another game from CD Projekt Red I dumped like 300 friggin' hours into.
I'm just excited because their writing is so good. So I can't wait to see what they do with one of my favorite genres, because I love cyberpunk. I've always wanted to write cyberpunk, and I love their whole like style and their writing, so I'm quite excited.
All the excite.
There's still no release date.
Of course not, but that's fine. We've seen information. I'm okay with there not having a release date right now.
I'm surprised they didn't pull like a coon. It's like, oh, we're gonna release it now.
When it.
So there's been a lot of people too, like, they're comparing it to like Deus Ex meets Witcher 3.
Oh, just hearing those words made my soul flutter again. I mean, words cannot connect to me. I was a kid of the 90s. I remember playing Shadowrun, and I remember playing Cyberpunk, and those were the games I really love to play. And I love Blade Runner. It's probably my favorite movie. It's just one of those, like, I'm so excited to see it visualized, because I'm kind of sick of the fantasy RPG, as in Mass Effect is pretty much dead in the water. It would be nice to have more of a sci-fi RPG. And sex and violence and guns and colors and technology. All that is best in life.
I like the way you said in colors. Like, I just, in colors.
Well, ladies and gents, that is our show for the evening. I'd like to thank Rachel for jumping on and talking some E3 with us. Make sure to tune into the Yo Popcorn podcast, because there's bound to be more E3 discussion as well. Also, go to Amazon, buy her books. I also want to give a big shout out to Jen and the project that she's been working on, the Dark Hunters series, which begins filming the trailer, what, this weekend?
Yes, tomorrow night and Saturday will be, it's a two-day filming.
And you have an Indiegogo, do you not?
Yes, we do. One is ending, we're going to be starting another one, so.
Sweet.
Yeah, I won't be pimping that this very second.
And if you're a Supernatural fan, follow both of these people on Twitter, at PhoenixFire.
2912.
Way to not know my birthday.
I wasn't going for your birthday. I was going for your Twitter handle.
That's what the 29 is.
Oh, well.
Because of my birthday.
I said 8912. That's close.
No, I didn't screw this up.
Also, at Total RE Car. And make sure to follow us on Twitter, at 16-Bit Assassins. You can like us on the Facebooks. The 16-Bit Assassins podcast, and we got to go because British lady is saying we have 10 seconds. So thanks, everyone, for tuning in. We will talk to you next Wednesday. Have a good night, and
bye.
Enjoy your E3 thoughts.
Woohoo!